You're listening to The Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM and 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. It is 20 till 11 here on this Wednesday, November 1st. It is time for our Valley Talk program. I'm Tyler Hergert. Joining me today is Jeff Torres from the USDA Farm Service Agency. Jeff, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Todd. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing well. We made it to November. A lot of exciting things going on this month. But there's been a lot going on over the past really couple of years here with the USDA. So let's hop right into it. As the USDA, they are going to provide more than $3 billion to commodity and special crop producers that were impacted by natural disaster events in 2022. So could you simplify that for us?
I'll do my best. We're talking about the 2022 Emergency Relief Program that provides over $3.7 billion nationwide to our commodity and specialty crop producers. It's going to be broken down into two tracks. Now they're called tracks. Last year they were called phases, but it's pretty much running the same. The first phase, track one, leverages existing crop insurance information and non-crop disaster assistance program data as the basics for calculating a payment for the eligible crops. Producers who receive indemnity payments through their crop insurance programs will start receiving this pre-filled form probably starting this week. I think it went out yesterday. Because effective on the 31st of October, we can start accepting applications for ERP 2022 benefits.
And this is for track, the first track, right?
Correct. This is for the first track. So it operated a lot like the last time we rolled this out last year. Producers will receive pre-filled forms. They have to certify they had an eligible disaster condition, sign it, and return it to the office. It's really streamlined.
Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because, there were all kinds of natural disaster events, and that covers everything from, like, wildfires to hurricanes and floods and tornadoes and even, like, winter storms and freezes and all kinds of different stuff. And so it's nice that they are giving that, giving back to the people who have really been affected by something that is so far out of their control.
Exactly. And we just want to, it's giving them a benefit, even though they have crop insurance and it's a safety net, this is an additional payment. When producers start to receive this form, they should double check with their crop insurance agent or their loss adjuster who handled the claim in 22 to make sure they had an eligible disaster condition.
And there are two tracks. So we talked about the first track, but then what is the second track for the application process?
The second track is a revenue-based certification program designed to assist eligible producers who suffered an eligible decrease in revenue from the 2022 crop year. A lot of it, even though you have crop insurance, you can still apply for this program if your revenue dipped below your previous years.
Yeah, go ahead.
In some cases where revenue does not reasonably reflect a normal year, Track 2 provides an alternative method to establish your revenue. So it has a lot of good features in it. It is running just like it did last year. Pretty much we're looking at a benchmark year, compare that to your disaster year. And a lot of this information can be pulled from your Schedule F or 1040 form, and your profits and loss for farming, or something similar for tax years 18, 19, 22, and 23.
So what is the biggest difference between Track 1 and Track 2?
The biggest difference, Track 2 is strictly looking at crop insurance information, so your yield, if you had a loss, how much was that loss? And Track 2 is strictly looking at revenue. You might have had maybe a 50-55 policy or a policy that wasn't covered more than, say, 60% of your crop, that you had a loss, but not enough to claim an indemnity payment for your crop insurance agent or your crop insurance company, you can apply for phase two based on low yield and loss of revenue.
So is it possible for people to be under both track one and track two, or is it one or the other?
No, absolutely. They can apply for both tracks. I kind of snuck into the system, and I looked at the producers that were receiving a payment in our county. So in order to qualify for track two, you have to if you received an indemnity payment in track one, you have to apply for that one first.
Okay.
Once you apply for that, then you can go on to track two.
And you mentioned that the forms, they can start applying for that as of yesterday. So this is something that's very, very new.
It's very new. And I kind of scrapped my whole presentation for you today to specifically talk about this program. Because it's been out since yesterday. So it's a day old. We're trying to get the word out for producers to, if you didn't receive this pre-filled out form, you can call the office to see if you remember getting an indemnity payment for 2022. You can just come into the office and request us to print this form out.
And is that the only form that people need for both track one and track two, or are there other forms?
Oh, we're the government. You know, we wish we could only do a one form application. But a lot of these producers are every year producers should come in for the farm program. So in most cases, yes, it's only one form, actually, believe it or not, because we already received these other forms when they're participating in other programs. So for, I would say, 95% of people, unless there's a major change in their farming operation, it's the one form.
So that's really nice that people, for the most part, they just have to worry about the one form to fill out rather than having to go through the Rolodex of forms, which makes things a lot more easier, especially because, those people, they're very busy.
I know. Well, they streamlined this program to be the most efficient and way to deliver this program, and I think they finally found a way to do that.
Yeah, less forms is always going to make things a lot better. Just being able to fill out the one form is really nice. And again, that just came out yesterday. And if people didn't receive it and they're thinking, hey, maybe I do fall under one of those two, they can just visit you guys or give you guys a call.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And how would they contact you?
They can contact me. Usually the quickest way is by phone. It's the number is 218-281-2809, extension number 2.
All right, so that's a great way for people to get in contact with the USDA to try and get the form, especially if they haven't received it yesterday. Because if you don't receive it yesterday, sometimes you aren't even aware of it. So even though they kind of spoiled your presentation to quote yourself from earlier, it's still good that you're getting the word out there because some people might not have even been aware of it.
Exactly. We had maybe 2 calls yesterday about it. So. But this just you gave me an opportunity to spread the word, so I just want to thank you.
Yeah, of course. It's always great to have you on every month to talk about very important things like that. And there's a lot more important things going on. There are some dates and deadlines coming up and some interest rates and CC loan rates. So let's start to dive into that area of discussion.
This applies to a few producers out there. It's the deadline to apply for the organic certification cost share program. Today's the deadline. I know we made some calls yesterday and we reached out. So November the 10th, we're going to be closed in remembrance of Veterans Day. November the 15th is the deadline. It's the certification of RMA insured and default seeded small grains. So if you're going to plant any small grains, let us know by the 15th of this month. The 20th of November is the deadline for the non-insured disaster assistance program, if anybody's growing any apples, berries, cranberries, cherries, grapes, hops, pears, and plums for 2024. Usually we don't have any, but just in case a producer might have decided to plant that this year, there it is. We're going to be closed on November the 23rd and for Thanksgiving. Our farm loan program interest rate is 5.25 for farm and operating loan direct. For an ownership loan, it's 5.250. For farm ownership joint financing is 3.25%. For a farm ownership loan, beginning farmer's down payment is 1.50%. Farm storage facility loans, for a three-year term, it's 4.625%. On a five-year term, it's 3.75%. And the same thing holds true for a seven-year. It's 4.375%. 10 and 12 years is 4.125%. If anybody's interested in the commodity loan rate, this month is 6.375%.
So what are the difference between those, well, first off, the individual loan rates, and then as a whole, the farm loan program interest rates and the farm storage facility loan program rates, and also that October 2023 commodity loan interest rates? What are the difference between those three and then the individual rates underneath those umbrellas?
Okay. For a farm loan program interest rate, for a direct loan, an operating loan, it's 5.25% for 1 year. And an ownership, it's just that you're purchasing ground, and it's the same interest rate of 5.25%. We have other ownership, that's joint financing, like if we're going to go in with the bank, if the producer is going to say wants FSA to pick up 40% and the bank to pick up 60%, we also can operate under that.
Okay. And,
the farm storage facility loans, it depends on the term you want. If you go out and buy a used grain equipment, the most we can go is 5 years.
Okay.
If it's something that's brand new, we can go up to 12. It would be a bin or a grain storage equipment. So it's just, they put these interest rates to kind of tailor what the producer needs. And
then the October 23 commodity loan interest rate. So what exactly does that mean?
It's when a producer puts their, say, their wheat or sunflowers into loan, FSA is going to charge them a 6.375 interest rate for that commodity, which is for this time compared to last year is a little high.
And then West Polk County commodity loan rates for the 2023 crop, I see that there are some prices there.
Correct. Like our wheat, the loan rate for that is 3.75. A 3.72 cents a bushel. Barley is 2.28 cents a bushel. Oats is $1.97 a bushel. Corn, 2.07 a bushel. Soybeans, $5.88 a bushel. If you have sunflowers, it's $10.43 a hundredweight. And dry bean peas is $6.16 a hundredweight.
So those are the loan rates for the West Polk County commodity 2023 crop. But Jeff, we talked earlier about the emergency relief program. That was just for 2022, but let's go over that again because this is something that just came out yesterday. People might not have gotten the word yesterday, but I think it's also worth diving into again because this covers all kinds of weather-related challenges, and for some people, this has occurred multiple years consecutively.
Correct. The only thing that we will not cover, that just popped into my mind, is drought for 2022. And the reason why we're not covering that is it's attached to the drought monitor. And in order to qualify for drought, West Polk County had to be in D2 or greater for any time of the year. And though it was close, West Polk didn't hit D2 in the drought monitor. So that's why we need producers to go and ask their crop insurance agents, what did I get paid on? What was the condition that affected this crop? So if they could say if it's excessive moisture or a tornado, what have you. Because they have, at the end of the day, the producer has to sign off that they were had an eligible disaster condition. Then we move forward with the application process.
Yeah, that's a really great point to mention because it says qualifying drought, that which obviously does not cover any sort of drought. You have to, the drought has to be severe enough to qualify for part of this ERP. But there are plenty of other natural disasters that have affected people that they are able to qualify for.
Exactly. And I know, you know, 22 is only last year, but between last year and this year, a lot have changed. So that's why we're asking the producer to just double check with your crop insurance agent, see what you, what was the condition. So when you sign the application, you have, you'll have all the information you're going to need.
And there are two different tracks for the ERP 2022 application process. Let's just briefly recap what track one is and what track two is, and if people are able to apply for one or the other or both.
First of all, you can apply for both tracks. Track one is pretty much a yield-based, it's yield-based generated. These numbers are gathered from your crop insurance claims. Track two is 100% revenue based, and the revenue has to be, you have to tie it back to a weather related condition. So if the revenue dropped 20-30% because you were late planting your crops, because 22 might have been a excessive rain year, and you got the, and the crops were planted late, and your yield decline, will that be an eligible disaster condition?
So interesting, interesting stuff there with the two tracks. And if you're already on file, I believe you said earlier that's only one form you have to fill out.
Yeah, one form pretty much takes care of everything, because we already gathered the other information. But unless their farming operations change from 22 to 23, and we weren't made aware of that, then we would have to update our records. But 9 times out of 10, that's not the case.
Just on the off chance someone has to fill out those extra forms, do you know what they are?
It's the farming operating plan. It tells us, it tells the government if you farm as an individual, a partnership, a corporation, an LLC. Then we want to know your, we want to know if the ground that you're operating in has any potential of being HEL or highly erodible, and if you, or if you change your banking in, institutions, we're going to need a new direct deposit form, and that applies to everybody.
So very interesting stuff there, Jeff. We are, believe it or not, we're almost running out of time. Is there anything else that you want to speak about today?
No, just thank you for this opportunity to get the word out.
Yeah,
we appreciate it at USDA.
Well, we appreciate you coming on every month, Jeff. I look forward to talking with you again at the beginning of December. And just one more time, if people need to contact you for any more information on, I would assume, especially for this emergency relief program, what's the best way they can contact you?
Best way, give the office a call at 218-281-2809, extension number 2.
So that was Jeff Torres with the USDA Farm Service Agency. I hope you have a great November, Jeff, and I look forward to speaking to you in December.
Take care, Tyler, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. So that was our Valley Talk program with Jeff Torres from the USDA Farm Service Agency.